Yes. So if you are expecting reaching Christianized Africans, you will get it, but not till Sunday evening. The order I'll be going through them, it will be like this: reaching students this evening, tomorrow reaching postmodern people, Saturday reaching Muslims, and then Sunday morning reaching people under the influence of ATR, and then, as I say, reaching Christianized Africans. When I was putting these together, this just felt like the right way to work it through. And part of that is that, in actual fact, reaching students was the last one in the series that I worked on. But it's the one that I chose to start the conference with. And why? Well, you heard that we have an English-speaking congregation in Cyprus. 80% of those who are in our congregation are students. And it's a huge privilege to have these young minds and souls who effectively will be the church of the future. And it's a weighty responsibility to direct them in God's ways. And so this is very familiar ground to me, but that's not why I start here. So many people put an emphasis on student ministry and student mission because they see the potential of youth. They are the future, and we need to catch the future while it's young. But that's not why I start here. Students have inquiring minds, don't they? And so often they have late night conversations and discussions, and their minds are ripe for the gospel, and they're asking those big questions. But that's not why I start here. We have an expression. The Turkish language has many, many things called deyim. What's a deyim? Is it an expression? Yeah, an expression. An expression. And one of these expressions is, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Whether that means anything to you or not, I don't know. And if it doesn't, I apologize. But basically, you can't teach old people new things. And so people are keen to do mission work and evangelize students because let's get their young minds formed when they're impressionable. Let's get them good doctrine and good teaching while they're young, and that will serve us and the church well into the future. But that's not why I'm starting here this evening. There is so much good material out there on reaching students. There's books, and there's resources, and there's ideas, and there's many things that I've read and looked at and I'm indebted to. But as I was studying the scripture, as I was looking for ideas of what to bring to you this evening, as I was skimming through some of the youth work books that I had, as I consulted the net, as I prayed over this, I came to this conclusion. I became more and more convinced that to reach students, we just have to go back to basics. To reach students, we have to go back to basics. And I put this sermon at the start, because if we want to reach anybody, we have to go back to basics. And so this is, in some ways, a foundation for the rest of the four sermons that we've got coming. They'll all stand alone, so if you only can make this one, it doesn't matter. But this, and if you can't make this one, and people don't make this one, and they come to the others, it's not going to be the end of the world. But I want us to have this foundation. The foundation of reaching students is the same for any other demographic. We're going to look at the basic of reaching out. And we're going to look at the basics of reaching out from the perspective of reaching students. So there's going to be an emphasis about how to reach students, just but from the basic. And I think it was no mistake in the sovereignty of God that we read the passage that we read earlier, which was the Great Commission. And I've been led this evening to the Great Commission, but from the passage in Matthew. So please do have your Bibles open and follow with me in Matthew. We're going to be Matthew 29, 28, the last chapter of Matthew. You know it well. We'll be looking at verses 17 through to the end. Just going to break in there at the middle of verse 17. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. As we start this, as we move on in these basics, we need to see the magnitude of this instruction from Christ. We need to see it in the context of what's going on here. Jesus has come to this world. He was born of a virgin. He was born in that remarkable way. He is here on this world, living, breathing as a man, but also as God himself. He lives for those 30 years, a sinless life in many ways in obscurity, not really in the limelight at all. And then he bursts onto the scene and he has those 3 and a bit years living a public ministry. And his public ministry comes to an end when he's nailed to the cross. And as he's nailed to the cross, one of the last sayings he cries out is, "It is finished." His mission is almost complete. I mean, his mission of salvation was complete on the cross. His death paid the price for the sins of his people. The transaction was complete and proved complete in his resurrection. He burst forth from the grave, showing that sin, death, the devil do not have any hold on him. Victory was won. Hope was given to mankind. Christ's saving work is complete. But in those last few days before he ascended to glory, where now he sits on the right hand of God and intercedes for us, he had something to do. And this last task, the last recorded, or some of the last recorded words before he ascends, is to instruct his disciples on their battle orders, if you like. He's giving them the task. Christ is returning to heaven and he's handing the mission and he's handing the baton onto his disciples. And this is what's going on and this is why it's so important. And he's saying to his disciples, you've got to go out. I'm going back to heaven. You've got to go out. You've got to take the message of the gospel to the people, to all nations. This is your role. This is your job. And he's giving the disciples that job. And in fact, he's giving all of us who've been saved and brought into God's family that job. This job is for all of us. This job isn't just for a select few missionaries. Anyone who is saved, anyone who's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, anyone who's been redeemed and brought into his family, we are given that task. We are his disciples and we are to go out and to reach out. It's for all disciples. But reaching out's frightening, isn't it? Reaching out is difficult. For some of you extroverts, it might be a bit easier. But for most of us, mere humans, reaching out, sharing the gospel can be difficult. And reaching out to students in some ways can be especially daunting. These young people full of energy. so cool, so image conscious. And then students full of academia and knowledge and opinions and self-determination and self-awareness and self-exploration and just a whole lot of self. And it can be daunting. And so the first point that I want to lay down this evening from God's word is this. You can only reach students if you go in Jesus' power. You can only reach students if you go in Jesus' power. And this is so basic, you'll have heard it many times before, but we need to go back there. And this doesn't just apply for students. This is the basics for everybody. If you want to reach anybody, you have to go in Jesus' power. And Jesus starts off this with his disciples, doesn't he? He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Verse 17, just the last part of it. The disciples were about to lose their teacher, their master. They were about to lose the one that had been with them for that last 3 and a bit years. He was about to give them mission impossible. Just think of this. This mission impossible which he gave to his disciples led to the martyrdom of 10 of them. That's pretty bleak statistics, isn't it? That's not 1 in 10. That's less than 1 in 10 survive. And so these brothers that he sends out, and speaking to us now as his disciples who are being sent out, Jesus gives them the credentials of why and how they and we can do this mission impossible. And it starts with that delightful word, all. All authority. Not some, not a little bit, but Jesus is in total and utter control. Now Jesus was going up to heaven, and we can happily imagine and think of Jesus having authority there, can't we? But sometimes when we look on this world, we think in our own minds, in our own logic, is Jesus in control? But he is. In absolute and total and utter control. Because as he says here in this verse 17, as he said to his disciples back then, as he says to his disciples right now, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. God the Father has given this authority to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I say, there are times that it doesn't feel like that. But it doesn't change the fact. Your feeling of a situation, my feeling of a situation, doesn't change the fact of what God or who God is and what God says. And God is saying to us, Jesus is in total control. He has all authority. And it's marked by that fact that Jesus on the cross showed that his authority was greater than his enemy, the devil. Jesus is bigger than his enemy. The Jews thought they were getting one over Jesus and killing him. The Roman soldiers physically did the deal. The devil thought that everything was in his hands because he was getting rid of the Savior of the world. And in that darkest moment to human mankind, in the sense of Christ dying, is the brightest. And so humanly speaking, when those disciples saw Christ on the cross and saw the tomb sealed, to them it all broken down, and to them they could not imagine a Jesus who had all authority. But he had. And he does. And he bursts forth from that tomb in all his power. and he has all authority. And I think one of the greatest demonstrations of Christ's authority is in salvation. Waking a spiritually dead person and breathing life into them through the Holy Spirit. The price paid by Christ on the cross. And so it comes back to this. As we want to reach out to students who are spiritually dead, as we want to reach out to people who have got hardened hearts, as if we want to reach out to whoever it is, we cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own wisdom. We cannot do it in our own ideas or in our campaigns. But we can confidently step out and evangelize and reach out because Jesus has given us his commandment to do it. And Jesus, who has all authority, has told us to reach out. And so when you are fearful of speaking to that student, when you are fearful of going to that campus, when you think that this atheist, this agnostic, this postmodern person, this intellectual will have more in their minds than you, you just don't need to worry about it. Because Jesus, who has all authority, has told you to go. Jesus, who has all authority, has told us to go out there and to share the gospel and to preach the gospel, and we can confidently do it. We can confidently go into those difficult situations knowing that Christ, who has all authority, has sent us. And what a comfort that has to be to those who are in formal mission situations. When it looks bleak, when it looks difficult, and it is bleak and it is difficult at times, you are there. Because Jesus, who has all authority, has sent you there. And so this is the same with all our outreach, not just the students, not just formal outreach, but informal outreach. All of it is underpinned, underwritten by the fact of Christ, who has all authority, has told us to do it. And if he's told us to do it, he will help us to do it. But secondly, from this passage, from this teaching of Jesus, is you can only reach students if you go out there. You can only reach students if you go out there. Verse 18, the first part of it is, go therefore. Your authority has gone first. And then after that, Jesus is saying, go, therefore. The therefore links it back. Because he has authority over heaven and earth, we're to go. And he's saying, go. I can bring out my favorite stories here because you'll never have heard them before. When I'm preaching at home, I have to remember which ones I've said and which ones I haven't. But this is one of my favorites. There are three big frogs on a lily leaf in a pond. Have you got that in your mind's eye? Pond, body of water, big lily leaf, and there's three frogs on this pond. They're chatting, as frogs do in my imagination. And two decided to jump off. And the question is this. How many frogs are left on the lily leaf? I'm going to tell you. All three. All three are left because they only decided. They only decided. A decision isn't the thing. We need action, don't we? And you see, we haven't got the luxury to decide if we want to reach out. The decision has been made for us. Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has all authority over heaven and earth, is saying, go therefore. You see, this passage is so important to the gospel going out. And we have to remember this. This passage is not just for missionaries. This passage is for disciples. This passage is for every one of us. And if we want students to be brought into the kingdom, we have to go. There's no ambiguity in this. It's very straightforward. It's very simple. Go, therefore. The lost will not be reached if you don't go and get them. Students will not be reached if you don't go and get them. They need action, and the action is to go. You've got to go out there and do it. And yes, there are testimonies of God working in remarkable ways without human intervention. We've had people walk into our church in Cyprus and they've been saved. And they've been saved by reading God's word. And no one went out to them. God can do it. But Jesus didn't tell us to wait in our churches for people to come in and so we could say, hallelujah, what an amazing way you were saved. Jesus says to his people, his disciples, and Jesus is saying to us, go therefore. And so if you want to get students, you have to get out there and go. And we can easily see that missionaries are sent out and they go. But with student work, I would like to suggest that the whole village is needed. The whole church is needed in reaching out. How do we go to students? I think one of the best ways for students is, and you maybe heard this saying before, the best way to a man's heart is through his stomach. If you feed students, they'll come. Invite students for a meal. It's simple as that. There's lots of ways, but there needs to be a going out. There needs to be an intentionality about it. Student groups, Bible studies, book clubs, student events. The best people to reach students is other students. And even if you can't go out directly yourself to reach students, you can facilitate the others. You can open your home. You can open your wallet. You can facilitate this. But it needs to be intentional and you need to go and you need to think, how do we go out? How do we get them? How do we interact with them? What can we do? But go. Get out there. Do something. Something needs to happen. Just dreaming up something in the church and deciding is not enough. Action is needed. And action is what Christ calls for. He says, go therefore. But just having a student program is not enough. It's not enough because the aim is about making disciples. You see, you can only reach students if we go in Jesus' power. We can only reach students if we go out there. And thirdly, you can only reach students if you make disciples. Verse 18, the second part of it reads, and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You see, the aim of reaching students should be making disciples. We interview people before they come into membership. We chat with them. And it can be quite difficult at times. Someone has just recently come from Africa, mainly from West Africa with us, and they come in and they want to be a member of the church. And you find that their whole belief is because of their family. That their whole belief is because at some stage they said a sinner's prayer or they made a decision. And the tragedy is when we look and we dig that they're not disciples. They're not following Christ. They might be members of a club. They might have a notion of it, but they don't know Christ, because when people know Christ, they become his disciple. And discipleship is something far deeper than just saying a sinner's prayer or making a decision or saying you're a Christian. Discipleship is a lifelong discipline, and it's not an event. And so, friends, as we want to reach out to students, what we want to be thinking about is not just reaching out and presenting the gospel, but reaching out and presenting the gospel and making disciples. We want lives that are changed and lives that are walking with Christ, but it starts with salvation. So under this heading, number 3, you can only reach students if you make disciples. Firstly, we need to realize that being a disciple needs salvation. Now, this is not stated in the passage directly. It doesn't say there, go out and save them. We can't. God does that work. The Holy Spirit does that work. We can preach the word. We can share the gospel. But they need to be saved. To do discipleship, for someone to become a disciple of Christ, they need to be saved. And the Bible teaches that only those who are saved should be baptized. So I'm feeling that I'm on very safe ground here. Disciple, as I said earlier, is not membership to a club or a church. It is a changed life, walking in union with Christ. But we can only walk in union with Christ if we're made right with God. And we can only be made right with God if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we can only trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior if the Holy Spirit has come in and touched our hearts and lives. Friends, making disciples is about proclaiming the gospel, but praying that the Holy Spirit will change the life and open the heart and make them respond to that wonderful offer that the gospel has, that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus' finished work of salvation is the way to be made right with God, and students need the gospel. And if you want to reach students, you need to preach the gospel and share the gospel. And so many times I tear my hair out when I see people and they're doing student work and they're doing great things. But all they're doing is feeding people. All they're doing is entertaining people. All they're doing is exciting people. All they're doing is talking about apologetics and things like that and winning arguments. But what these young people need is the gospel. They need to be saved. They need to be transformed. They need to see their sin. They need to see their sin before in the sight of an awesome God who hates sin and will judge sin and condemn sin for a whole eternity. They need to realize that they are lost. And that's not going to happen unless we preach and share the gospel. Making disciples starts with the gospel. They need to be transformed and they need to be saved. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can do that. So as we proclaim the gospel to students, we pray that God will work in power through the Holy Spirit. And then they need to be baptized. And say that very safely in a Baptist church. When they are saved, they need to walk in obedience. And this is the start of being a disciple, walking in obedience. They're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as they're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, this does not save them. This is an open testimony of what the Lord has done for them. They're saying, we have died with Christ and we've been risen with him and we're alive in him. But I believe that baptism is in here. In this great commission, because it is the start of obedience. It doesn't save them. it's the start of obedience. It's the start of obedience in this. It's being an open Christian. Tragically, and so often in our culture, in our setting of Islam, we see people come to faith, and because of the pressures, that they're a secret believer. And generally speaking, a secret Christian doesn't do very well. It's like keeping a plant in a dark area. It doesn't grow. And you see, the sooner the student can openly confess Christ, the better. And yes, they may take some grief from their peers. And yes, there may be some low-level persecution, but that's what being a Christian is. That's what being a believer is. That's what we've been promised in God's word. And they need to walk out openly. And so, yes, students may like food and activities and entertainment and excitement and late-night discussions, but what they need is they need to be taught. And they need to be taught the truth. And they need to be taught obedience. And this is what's in the Great Commission, isn't it? God's word needs to be taught. And this teaching needs to lead to obedience. Now, teaching can be done in all manner of interesting ways. And there's lots of really exciting ways of teaching young people. But friends, I want you never to underestimate the preached word. The students need to be here Lord's Day by Lord's Day. And if their programs prevent them coming under the ministry of God, they've got it wrong. They need to be nurtured in God's sanctuary Sunday by Sunday, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. And they need to be taught the truth. And yes, there are other things that can be done for them, and exciting things and interesting things that can be done for them. But the core place where they should be learning their truth is here, under the sound of the ministry, hearing God's word preached. We should never be, we're failing our young people, we're failing our students if we're not teaching them. And teaching them all that Jesus has commanded you. We need to take care of that. Sometimes some of the students who come with us to Cyprus, they've been taught the traditions. They've been taught the culture. But they haven't been taught all that Jesus has commanded. We don't get to choose what we teach them, other than we teach them from God's word. They need the whole counsel of God's word. We don't just choose the bits that we think will appeal to their academics or choose the bits that will appeal to the youth. They need it all. We don't want to produce Pharisees. But we do want to produce people who take that truth and obey it and are obedient to it. And friends, obedience must be modeled. If you're teaching students, you should be modeling what you're teaching. Because what they need to do is they need to be obedient to what they've been taught. And if you're not being obedient to what you're teaching, then how can that happen? If you're speaking to them about self-discipline and they see a life that's ill-disciplined, how's that going to help? They need to be encouraged in obedience. Obedience needs to be modeled. And this means being involved with these young lives. And sometimes it means getting messy. You need to care for them like the Apostle Paul cared for the Corinthians. And it got messy in Corinth, didn't it? There were sins that were there that we suck our teeth in at. And being involved in young students' lives, there will be sins and things that need dealing with, but lovingly and graciously. We just stand by them when they mess up and point them back to Christ when they're wandering. We need to give them accountability and ask them how they're getting on and ask them how their devotions are and ask them how their relationships are and ask them how their relationship with the internet is and ask them how much time they're spending on their phones and encourage them with God's word to model discipleship, which is following Christ and Christ's footsteps. I said it before, but one of the best ways to reach students is with students. And as soon as you get a few students and they're excited for the gospel, you'll get a few more. And so we need to teach them the Great Commission. We need to teach these young lives as soon as they become Christians, or even before they become Christians, that what a Christian does is tell others. We go out and we share this Great Commission. We share this great truth. We share the gospel. And so we need to teach them the Great Commission. They need to be enthused to reach out. And so often that's what happens. And that's certainly what's happening in our situation. We have young people who are enthused and they reach out. And the student works that yield true fruit are the ones that unashamedly teach the word. You see, you might be able to pack a building like this with youth, with gimmicks. If you put the right noise in here, if you put the right images up there, if you give them the right things, they will flock to you. But you have to feed them on what you catch them with. And if you catch them with gimmicks, your work is built on gimmicks, and you'll be building gimmicky disciples. And just as the foolish man built his house on the sand, that ministry will never last. Because when a brighter, shinier gimmick winks in the distance, they'll all run to it. And you'll be left with nobody, because it wasn't built on the foundation. The foundation is God's word. Don't be looking for gimmicks. Be preaching God's word. Be teaching God's word. Be modeling God's word. When we were part of our sending church in the UK, there was a large youth and student department, and we were blessed by God to have this. And one day I was asked from a pastor from a different church in the same district. And this church was struggling to attract youth. And so they said to me, they asked me the question, what are you doing to attract the youth? And I said, sorry, what do you mean? He said, well, what are you doing? You've got lots of youth. What are you doing? And so I talked them through a typical Lord's Day. I said, our youth come to church at 10 o'clock. For a Sunday school service. Now, this is England, not Africa, and 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning is early. And students don't get up before 12. But at 10 o'clock, the youth were there for Sunday school. 11:30, they were there for, 11:15, they were there for the Sunday service. And he said, well, what's the special program you do for them in the Sunday service? I said, we preach the word. Oh. So well, then we have lunch together. He says, then what do you do? And I said, well, they have a Bible study. And then what do? Well, they go for a walk and they talk and they have time together and they have tea. And he said, then what do? They go to the evening service and we preach to them. And then what do? Well, they go home to someone's house and they have supper and they discuss the sermon. And there's nothing special in the world's eyes, but there's every special in the terms that God's word is being unleashed. Friends, never, ever, ever be afraid of unleashing God's word. That's what the students need. They need God's word being proclaimed to them, being proclaimed from the pulpit. They need God's word being proclaimed one-on-one. They need God's word being proclaimed by the lives that you live and they see that they live. You see, one of the things that really attracted non-Christians into this church youth group was the unconditional love that the church showed to these youngsters. And often in their testimonies, that they would say to us, we came to church and we stayed because we knew that we were loved there. And the same for students. They will come and if they get a sense of being loved, if they get a sense of being part of a community, of being part of a family, being cared for, they will stay. And prayerful concern of the membership in that church had a lot to do with it. The older ones who had nothing in common with the youth would be praying for them. The older ones who didn't understand what a mobile phone was or a smartphone was or what Twitter or YouTube or those things were, they hadn't got a clue. But they knew that there were young souls and they prayed for them. And they were involved in the youth work by praying for them. They were going out. They weren't in front of the individuals, but they were praying for them and they were showing interest in them. And when they had opportunity, they would talk with them and they would tell them that they were praying for them. And God works. If you're reaching out to students, you need to be switched on to the sovereign God who is in control of all. We have to proclaim the salvation of Jesus, holding on to the fact that it's through the work of the Holy Spirit they're saved. We need to take this commandment seriously of making disciples. And if we do that, who knows where the student work will go? England is the country of the sandwich. Piece of bread, a filling, and another piece of bread. This Great Commission is like a sandwich. It starts off by telling us that Christ has all authority. It tells us what we need to do is we need to go out there and we need to proclaim the gospel. We need to make disciples. And then it comes back to that last bit of bread. And Jesus says to his disciples, yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's hard. But behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We come full circle. Fourthly, you can only reach students if we go out in Jesus' power. We can only reach anybody if we go out in Jesus' power. And Jesus is saying to the disciples then, yeah, I'm going up to glory, but behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And we're not by ourselves. We're not left to chance. We're not left to a whim. Jesus is with us to the end of the age, and we have hope. And we've got an ability to go out there and share the gospel and reach out to students because Jesus is with us. Jesus who has all authority. Jesus who conquered sin, death and the devil. Jesus who has made the way of salvation open. Jesus is saying to his disciples then and us now, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, you can only reach students if we go in Jesus' power. We can only reach students if we go out there as we've been called to. We can only reach students if we make disciples. And it all comes back to the beginning. We can only reach students if we go out in Jesus' power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now and we confess that we haven't reached out as we should. We confess that sometimes our thoughts, our plans, our programs, our ideas are what's been driving us. Forgive us. May we be motivated to reach out because Christ, who has all authority, told us to. And may we go out, O Lord God, with an excitement of knowing that there's opportunity to make disciples, realizing that it is an impossible task that we cannot do. But we can, because Jesus is the power behind the salvation. Jesus is the power of salvation. Jesus is everything. Oh Lord God, we come in our weakness, asking that we be encouraged and reminded afresh that Jesus is with us always to the end of the age. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.